If you have a Bible this morning, I want you to find the book of Romans, and we're going to be in chapter number 1, Romans chapter 1. I am very much excited and actually a little bit nervous for the next few minutes, if I can put it that way, because today is a message that God has been just kind of moving inside of me in a few different ways, and very specifically in this one area right now. It's something that I feel so strongly is the direction that our church family needs to go in 2021 and beyond. And if you were here last week, we started a series here that we're simply calling To the Ends of the Earth. To the Ends of the Earth. And just to give you kind of fair warning right away here at the beginning, so that this doesn't come out of nowhere at the end, part of what I feel God has put on my heart for today has to do with money. All right, we'll just get that right out of the way. And at the end of the service today, I'm going to ask you to pray and be praying about giving to something very specifically. It's very specific, not our church and what we're doing here, but something else. And so just for some of us, that makes us kind of squirm in our seats a little bit, but I thought I would kind of prepare you in advance. This is what I feel God is leading us to do. We've been talking a lot about how in our part of the world, it is very easy for us to live complacent, apathetic, like Christian lives, okay? Would you agree? All right, the freedom that we have, the wealth that we have, even if we don't feel it at times, also opens the door for us to many times not need God and to go through seasons of our life where he is almost not even existent to us. We claim that we are Christians, but so often we live as though God doesn't exist, all right? And that kind of creeps into us in our part of the world. And Christians all over the place who have drifted away from the purpose and the mission that Jesus gave to Christians and to the church. In fact, for those of us here today who are maybe a little confused by those words, purpose and mission, like that's what today is going to be about. In fact, let me give you the answer to the question right away. All right, I'm going to give you the bottom line for this entire message. In fact, after I say this right here, you probably can leave if you want to, because this is the end. I'm giving you the end right away at the beginning. Here we go. If we have been changed by the message of Jesus, we are now obligated to get that message to those who are still unreached. If we have been changed, we are now obligated to get that to those who are still unreached, okay? So that's where we're starting, let's begin here by praying together. We need to pray. Will you stand with me all over this place, and let's just take a moment, and let's just kind of invite God into this moment here right now. Pray with me. God, we pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would move in us, that you would move through us, that you would change the way that we think, that you would transform things in us. God, as we sit on the edge of our seats, as we lean into you today, Lord, I pray that something so supernatural and special would take place. God, as we look at your very word, let it move inside of us in a way like never before. We desperately need to hear from you today. That's what we want, and it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, turn to somebody and say, you better get ready for this. Yeah, even like stretch a little. I don't know what you're going to need to do. All right. If we have been changed by the message of Jesus, we are now obligated to get that message to those who are still unreached. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a case for this scripturally, this obligation that we have to take the message of Jesus to those who have never heard, all right? So I need you to lean forward a little bit, at least in your mind, and or physically. We had a couple of you like, yeah, all right. Be expectant here today. Expect something to happen, something to change. God is here, and you have an opportunity right now to hear from him. Last week, we talked about the final words of Jesus when he was here physically on earth. He gathers his disciples together after he has been crucified. He raises from the dead. He spends 40 days on earth after the resurrection, walking around, appears to over 500 people, the Bible says. And at the very end, he gathers his closest followers together, and they're outside on some hill or something, and he says something very specific to them, and then he disappears. All right? And so here's what he says. This is Acts chapter 1. We read this last week. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And verse 9, after he said that, he's taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him. We have no idea what that would look like. It sounds awesome. But Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses. You'll be my witness to tell people." Okay, think about the word witness. If you're like in a jury or something, they tell about what they saw. They tell about what they heard. All right, "You'll be my witness." And he lists off these four different places, and we talked about that last week, okay? Now, the followers of Jesus, they walk out of that experience right there, and they begin to pray together. And they gather in Jerusalem, where they're staying in this house, and they were praying, and supernatural things begin to happen. And the story of the Bible says that the Holy Spirit filled these believers. This is what Jesus promised when he left. God would come in another way, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of Christians, it happens in this supernatural moment. They then step out of the doors of that place, and they begin to do what Jesus had told them to do. They immediately begin to preach and tell the story and tell of what they saw and what they have heard, okay? That there is forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with how God has come to earth and changed everything. And they begin to tell this, all right? These followers of Jesus start by telling people in Jerusalem, right where they were. It's not very long into the story, though, where they begin to work their way outside of the city and understand this is really the beginning of the spread of Christianity. When Jesus was on earth, there were no Christians. Christians started with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Christianity takes off as these believers, as these followers of Jesus begin to do what he told them to do in Jerusalem and then outside of that as well. We really see this mission seriously play out in the life of a man named Paul. You may have heard the Apostle Paul if you're a church person like that. In fact, it's nuts. Scholars who study this stuff for a living estimate that the Apostle Paul, who was initially opposed to Jesus, by the way, very opposed to him, scholars say that he will eventually travel around 10,000 miles on foot, all to try and accomplish what Jesus gave him. That is you walking from New York City to Los Angeles four times. The Apostle Paul would walk that to accomplish the mission of Jesus. And this morning, I want to show you something that Paul wrote, because we have 13 of the letters that he wrote in the New Testament. This is the beginning of a letter that we know of as the book of Romans. Incredible book of the Bible. Read the book of Romans. It will rock your world, all right? This is Romans chapter 1, starting in verse number 1. You can follow along with me on the screen. He writes this letter. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Slave there is not like a slave. He's just saying, I am so bound by what Jesus did that I will do everything he says, okay? Chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Paul writes, I was chosen by God. I was sent out, okay? Preach here. Preach the good news is the same language as be my witness, by the way, that Jesus said. Different wording, same idea is what this is. The idea to tell people who have never heard about Jesus and about what God has done. Question though, who has sent Paul out here? It's a trick question, you don't have to answer. Because there's two answers to this question, a spiritual answer and a very practical answer to this as well, okay? The spiritual answer is Paul here was clearly called by God, sent out by God himself. That's a spiritual answer here. The practical answer, though, is this. The early Christians, the early church actually sent out Paul with a few others. We can see this very literally in Acts chapter 13. okay? But at this point in the story, Paul is actually known as Saul. His name is going to change. This is Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is like a Christian group that is gathered together, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul," that's Paul, "for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Do you hear that? Okay, they sent them out. They were worshiping the Lord. They were fasting. That's the Christians. That's the church. This is the church sending out missionaries to preach the good news, to tell of what they have seen, what they have heard, to people who have never heard. In fact, Paul is going to go one place to another, and he's going to walk into these places, and these people are going to respond by saying, "Jesus, never heard of him." All right, over and over and over in the Roman Empire, one after another, as he travels these 10,000 miles over about a 10 or 15 year period. All right, back to Romans. This is Paul sent out to preach the good news. Verse 2, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul's like, this good news that I am called and I've been sent out to preach, it's that like God's Son has come. God's Son is here. He was raised from the dead, and he is Christ. That word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the word Messiah is what that word means. Jesus the Messiah. Verse number 5. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. The word Gentiles here is the word that they would have used. Jewish people use the word Gentiles to mean anyone who is not Jewish. All right? The Jewish people, this is their heritage. This is actually an ethnicity as well as a religion is what we have here. Gentiles, Paul's like, I have been sent out by my people to go preach to people not like me at all. That's what we have right here. So this will bring glory to his name. All right, the Jewish people lived in and around Israel, but God has sent Paul out to tell people outside of this nation of Israel. Now, a few verses later, we're going to drop down to verse number 14, because this is where we begin to see the way Paul views this mission that Jesus has given to go and be my witness, okay, to go to the ends of the earth and tell people who have never heard. Verse number 14, set up the tension. Are you ready? Here we go. Here's what he says, "For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike." Now, quickly, I want to talk about this word obligation, because for me, when I hear the word obligation, I get all sorts of negative things that go through my mind. Like, I don't like the idea of being obligated. Are you with me? Like, that's like not a good thing. If I feel obligated to go to church, then church is not something I like to go to. If I feel obligated, it's like, oh, this is a chore that I have to do. Do you know what I mean? Anyone with me on the word obligated? This is important that we nod together right now, because this word that shows up right here, it's important that we grasp this, because the bottom line for today is we are obligated. And if we are obligated as a negative thing, it carries the wrong type of feel here, all right? And so let me explain what Paul is saying when he says this right here, okay? Paul is so overwhelmed by the good news of what God has done, what he's done for him, what he has done for humanity, and he also realizes that there are people in the world who have still not yet heard. They've not yet heard this good news. And deep down inside of Paul, like in his soul, he burns with this idea of that is not okay. It is not okay that I know that I have received this, that I'm on the in when there are people all over the place who don't even have a chance because they've never even heard. That is unacceptable. And so he says, like, I'm filled with this great sense of obligation to those who have never heard. I can't just sit here. I must do something. I'm obligated. Or you could say, like, I owe it to them. As a saved person, I owe it to someone who has not even had an opportunity to accept this message. I'm obligated. I have this great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, educated and that's kind of a weird, he lists off those things. The phrase here, the rest of the world, is actually one single word in the original language that Paul wrote it in. He wrote it in Greek. It's the word barbaros. Barbaros. It's where we get our English word barbarian. Interesting, huh? So we have it translated in English right here to the rest of the world, okay? But like a much better translation of this would actually probably be the word foreigner. Foreigner. I have this obligation to those in the civilized world and also to those who are foreigners to me to bring them, to tell them, to preach to them, okay? To be a witness to those people. I have an obligation to do that. Like, I owe it to the people to whom this message has not yet reached to do everything I can to get this to them. Are we all on the same page right now with Paul's obligation here of what he needs to do? And here's the transition, and don't miss this. I believe with all of my heart, I believe with everything that I am, that the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples is the mission that he would have for us today. I mean, do we really think that Jesus gave this mission to his followers and then he's like, yeah, you know, in 2,000 years though, I would just rather have American Christians not sacrifice, not tell people, not go around the world and tell. Do you think that's really an argument here? Okay, come on. Jesus, the mission that he has given to us today is that we would go and that we would figure out how to tell people who are unreached about the message of Jesus. I believe with everything that I am that this is who we are supposed to be. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that this obligation that Paul talks about is not just something for Paul. I believe this is for you and for me. Like I believe that if I have been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus, I now carry with me this obligation to bring that message to people who have never heard. I carry that with to those who are still unreached. Well, hold on, Pastor Kyle. Are there really people today in our world who have never heard the story of Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked, all right? Because right now, the number is somewhere around 2 billion people in our current world who are completely unreached. The message of God, like the message that God loves them, that God has come, that God has provided a way, like has not reached their ears. And I know some of us are thinking like, I don't know why we talk about unreached people around the world when there are unreached people in the office that I work at, okay? But listen, those people in your office are not unreached. Why? How do I know? Because you work with them. You work with them. They are not unreached. They maybe have not yet said, they've maybe not said yes. They've maybe, like maybe they don't believe. Maybe they've even flat out rejected the message of Jesus, but understand they are reached with the gospel. The term unreached literally means what it says. The gospel message has not reached them. It has not gone to them. They have never heard. And it's not just that they haven't heard. It's that there's no one even to tell them what Jesus has done. There's no one to tell them. They do not have a Christian. They don't know a Christian. They don't have a neighbor that's a Christian. They don't drive by Christian churches. They do not have the Bible in their language or even know what the Bible is. There is no one to tell them. Completely 100% unreached. 2 billion people in our world right now. And that's a low estimate. Some estimate it closer to 3. 2 billion people in our world have zero access to the good news that God loves them and that God sent his son. Listen to this. Let me give you a couple statistics that I was reading this week and I was like, this is ridiculous. It is estimated that there are 460,000 villages out of a total of 650,000 villages in India with no known Christian presence. 460,000 villages with no, like, that's impossible for us to even understand. Millions and millions of people all in the same country, in the same nation, the country of India. 460,000. That's crazy. The next one, 253 of the 547 people groups in China do not have even Bible portions available in their primary language. Okay, there are 547 different people groups in the nation of China, all with different languages, all with different cultures, all living in China. If you didn't know, China has like 1.3 billion people alone, okay, that live there. All right, 253 of the 547 people groups do not have any of the Bible translated into their language. That's crazy. And how many Bibles do you have? Oh my goodness. Okay, entire cultures of people that do not have access to the Bible. They're totally unreached. Okay, the next one, the largest group without even scripture portions in their primary language is the Jin Chinese of China, population 64 million. We have now put a number to one of those people groups. 64 million people in one of the people groups of China that does not have the Bible in their current language. That is absolutely crazy. That is a place that is 12 times more populated than Minnesota. 12 times more populated than the state of Minnesota. 64 million people, they don't even have a portion of the Bible in their language. Of course we want to share Jesus with the people you work with. Like, don't get all wacky on me here and think I'm gone crazy. We've got to reach our neighbors. That's a no-brainer here. We do everything that we can to tell our neighbors about Jesus. We do that. But listen to me. As Christians, we should feel this deep obligation to those in our world who have never even had an opportunity, who have never even heard, who have never had a Christian talk to them, who, if you say Jesus to, they say, I don't know who that is. I've never heard that before. Okay, very quickly, what do? We respond in two ways. Are you ready? Write this down if you're taking notes. For those of us who are serious about serving God, it's either one or the other. It's either one or the other. If we are serious about the message of Jesus and the message and the mission of Jesus, then we should feel obligated to one of these two. Are you ready? These are two ways to reach the unreached with the message of Jesus. We either go or we send. You either go or you send. If you are serious about the mission of Jesus, you either go or you send. What do you mean you either go or send? I mean Christians like us who live in a nation like us with wealth and freedom should either personally go to the unreached or we should send others to go to the unreached. And here's what I know. I know that some of us even in our church family are called to go. I've talked with some of you about it. This feeling inside of you that like, I've got to go. And we're trying to figure out what that means and what that looks like. I can think of the amazing couple that used to be on staff with us that's preparing for that. Can't say their name because we're live right now, all right? But they're preparing and they're trying. They're doing everything they can to go because God is burning something inside of them to go. Some of us, God is calling to go, to pack up your family and to move somewhere around the world to bring the message to the unreached. And before you say that's crazy, I have all sorts of friends right now who are doing that. All sorts of friends who are living as missionaries all over the world right now or preparing to go overseas, full-time missionaries to those who have never heard. Okay, we don't have time to talk much about that, but next week, bring your big boy and big girl pants because we're going to talk about that a little bit more, all right? For those of us who do not go, for those of us who care deeply about the call and the mission of Jesus, and we do not go, we must send. We must send. We should be consistently praying and fasting. We saw that in our verse as they sent Paul out. Pray and fast for missionaries who are working diligently to reach the unreached. And we should give. We should give to accomplish this mission. Because listen, this is our purpose as Christians. Your purpose as an American Christian is to not just figure out how to go to heaven and then live like everybody else. Not a single amen. That's hard stuff. Your purpose is not to do that. You should be different. Your life should be different than the people that you work with. Your life should be different than the people that you interact with in our community. Your life should not be like theirs. Why? Because you have signed up. You have committed your life. You've given your life. And now the purpose and the stuff that God cares about needs to be what you care about. Pastor Kyle, why are you yelling at us? This is a big deal to me. I'm passionate about the mission. I'm passionate about the purpose. And God is moving in me to light a fire in some of you. Because man, this is our mission, okay? And we should give to accomplish this. And I'm not just talking about one time. This should be a part of our every month budget. And there should be seasons when we give sacrificially even above and beyond for this mission. In fact, listen, for a moment, like I want to talk to a very select group of people here. If you're here today first and you're sort of just okay with living a complacent, apathetic Christian life, and that sounds like a horrible thing that I'm saying it this way, but the reality is many of us in this place, that's where we're at. If you are okay with that and that's where you are in your spiritual journey, I need you to plug your ears for a moment because I'm going to say something to the other group here and it could really make you feel guilty over here, okay? So, and I don't want that. Okay, so plug your ears right now. We're okay, just like this. All right, so here we go. This right here is for those of us who are saying, I want to serve God with everything that I am and everything that I have. Okay, I want the things that matter to God to matter to me, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes and do whatever he asks me. If that's you, listen up, okay? If that's you, then you need to understand God cares deeply for his creation, for the people he created. And almost all of those people, statistically, don't live right here. And if God cares for the people around the world, so should we. God cares deeply for the people around the world who have never heard and never had an opportunity. And as people who care about the things God cared, that should matter to us. And it's time for you and I, if you are in this group, to step up our game and figure out how to do this. Listen, the mission of Jesus should show up in your checkbook. The mission of Jesus should show up in your checkbook. If you care about what he cares about, and if you want to serve him, and if you want to live the way he wants you to live, by the way, the mission of Jesus, it should show up in your checkbook, okay? It should be apparent. It should be obvious. It should be there. Not just giving to an American church or your favorite charity, but giving specifically to see the gospel go to the unreached. You should be, I'm going to soften the blow a little bit. We should not be spending more on coffee each month than we are reaching the unreached. We should not be spending more on a storage unit to store our junk than we are reaching the unreached around the world. I'm not anti-toys, but come on here. Think about this for a moment. If you desperately care about what God cares about, like, all right, here we go. Let's get a little bit harsher. Can we do that? Okay. If we care about God, if we want to serve him, if we want to live our lives for him, but we are financially giving pennies to help missionaries and help people translate the Bible and helping the unreached, then we are flat out wrong. Listen to me. Well, Pastor Kyle, do you give to missions? This is a part of who I am. It is a part of who I am. In 2020, me and Donna gave more to missions than anyone else in our church, with the exception of someone that showed up with a really big check at the end of the year. If you take that one-time gift out of the equation, me and my wife gave more to missions than anyone else in our church last year. And this year, God is asking us to give more. Right now, this is where I'm at. God is asking me and my family to budget to give $500 a month this year, specifically to send people around the world to reach the unreached. Okay, understand this. $500 a month is above and beyond what we already give to the church. The full tithe, 10%, that is a part of who we are above and beyond. This is who I am. This is who God has called me to be, and how God is asking me to lead our church family. And more than likely, here's what's nuts. I was talking to our staff about this week, and we were more than likely, me and my wife will not give the most this year, because God is moving in the hearts of some of our other pastors, and I think a couple of them may outgive me and Donna. I'm going to not let that happen right now, but seriously, it's incredible when the heart begins to, when this begins to well up inside of you, and it's not an obligation like a negative thing. It's this passion, it's this heart, it's this, God, this matters to you, and I want it to matter to me, and I want to figure this out. Now, let me pause for a moment here, because I've wrestled with what to do with the end of this service all week. In fact, I was up in the middle of the night last night. I could not sleep. I was having a really difficult time. Why? Because very simply, I hate the idea of a person up in the front of the church, manipulating anybody or making people feel guilty in any sort of way. Churches and pastors have been doing that, and I hate it. It makes me sick to my stomach. So as I've been praying through this week, here's where I've landed, all right? I believe God has put on my heart that this morning I'm not to ask you to give. That's kind of cool, huh? Take a deep breath. You're like, whew, yeah. All right? But I was to lay out what God has been doing in my heart, and then I'm to ask you to pray. To pray and ask God if he would have you give. Saying, God, what would you have me give above and beyond what I already give this year to help your good news go to the unreached? God, I'm available to you. What would you have me give? Music team, will you please come? Now, this is for some of us. I understand this isn't for all of us right now, and that's okay. But here's where we can help each other. Are you ready? We're bringing this to a close, and I need you to wake up for just a moment, okay? All right, there we go. I got your eyes. That's pretty good. We're doing all right. Okay, here's where we can help each other. In 2021, as a church family, there are kind of three missions areas that we are specifically investing in and kind of are on my heart. And some of these overlap with each other, okay? The first is supporting missionaries, sending those, okay? Some of them are even from our church. Some are my friends from community, okay? We have an incredible connection with missionaries that have been vetted through this crazy, difficult process, that are handed a massive amount of accountability and all of these types of things. We are a part of this. We have that connection. Missionaries, okay? The second thing, first is supporting missionaries. Second, planting churches among the unreached. I believe in the power of planting a Christian church. Some of those have to be underground because it's illegal. But this is something we're committed to figuring out. And the third, translating the Bible. Translating the Bible. Currently, there are 4,400 languages out of 7,000 languages in our in our world where they do not have a full translation of the Bible. About 2,000 of those have zero, not even a word of the Bible translated into their language. They have no scripture. We are helping with that. I'm not sitting there translating the Bible. I don't know languages. We have people and connections that do, and that we're working with that. As a church, we have the connections to missionaries going around the world, connections to places and people who are translating the Bible, connections to people who are planting churches. We have the connections. You can give through our church and know that every penny of it will go there, not to us. I feel good about this because this is not selfish in any way. There is zero benefit to me in any of this by us as people giving to this. It's the mission of Jesus what we're talking about. Okay, more than likely you do not have the connections to even begin to do this. That's how we can help. Okay, ushers, quickly, I want you to just pass these things out here while we talk. Okay, we're bringing this to a close, I promise, okay? Here's how you can help us. Here's how you can help. If you ask God seriously and you say, God, what would you have me give? What would you have us give? And you feel God moving inside of you to do something this year, we would love to know about it. Let me tell you why. Why would you like to know about it? Because it helps us know what we can say yes to. Okay? Think about this for a moment. We have people knocking on our door every single week that are saying, we want to go. We want to do this. And we say, we don't have enough money right now. Okay? And so here's how we can know, okay, what we can say yes to. If you were here last week, you saw that our church family gave $142,000 in 2020. That was about 19% of our total income. We're a missions-minded church that is a part of a worldwide missions movement. Probably, we probably don't need everyone to have one of those, but maybe they got handed out that way. That's okay. Go ahead and put that picture up here for me. Okay, that's what you have in your, and throw that on the slide here for the screen if they don't have that too. Online, you can find this exact thing on rlcmn.church/missions. We'll give you this right here in an online version. What we're asking you to do is pray about giving specifically to the mission of Jesus to reach the unreached in our world. The next couple weeks, we're going to bring it home and we're going to talk about what we're doing here. But right now, this is where God is leading our church. Okay? We want you to pray about that. And if you, after you pray, feel that God is leading you to do this, then we want you to fill this card and bring it back to us. You can put it like in the offering box or something. Why? We want to know who we can say yes to. All right? In fact, we're just going to like tally them all up and then we're going to shred them or get rid of them. Like we're not keeping these. This is not like a commitment we're going to hold over your head. This is between you and God. We just want to figure out how to get like a big number so we know what we can say yes to. We want you to put your name on it. Why? Because then we want to like know it's real. So if we get one that says like Daffy Duck, we're probably not going to count that in our total. All right? We want this to matter. It's on you. The challenge today is to pray. Is to pray. Please stand with me all over this place. Wow, Pastor Kyle, you kind of yelled a lot today and lit us up a little bit. I'm sorry. I hope that you can feel my passion. This is, I'm ready to sacrifice in ways like never before. Now, I've already spent time praying about this. I'm ahead of you. I'm ahead of the game. But God is calling me and my family to do something bigger than we've ever done. And I just want you to pray. I don't want you to feel guilt. I don't want you to feel obligated in the negative sense. I don't want you to feel manipulated in any sort of way. But I do want you to just pray because I believe in the mission of Jesus. God, I pray right now. I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would fill us with your heart for people who don't know you. God, that this would drive us to our knees, that this would change the way we pray, that it would change the way we think, that it would be in our mind all the time, everywhere we go, that we would be aware of the fact that there are people who have not said yes to you, and there are people who have never even been given an opportunity. Let that news and let that information change us. God, I pray that as a church family, we would rise up and that we would begin to take your mission seriously, that we would take your purpose to another level, that we would not just be people who sit back and do, God, just like the lazy, complacent Christianity that is rampant in our culture, but that things would begin to happen and change, and that we would begin to align ourselves with you every single day. Change us, challenge us, move us, oh God, we pray. One final thing here before we go. Maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor Kyle, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never said yes to him. And even as you're talking right now, Pastor Kyle, like something is welling up inside of me, and I know that today is my day. I need to respond to the message of Jesus, even for the very first time. If that's you today, I want you to quickly just show me your hand. Anyone in this place that would say, yes, that's me, that's me. Online, you can click a little button that says respond or raise your hand. We want you to respond as well. Anyone in this place that would say, today is my day, today is my day. Church, can we just pray together? Let's pray together before we close. Pray this. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Come on, can we clap our hands, celebrate that together for a moment? God, as we walk out these doors today, may we be more aware of you and your mission than ever before. Go beside us. Help us to know that you are with us every step of the way. We love you and we need you, God. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, thanks for coming today. You are dismissed.